when a lead comes in, they're filling out a form online. Initially, we didn't have it set up so we would respond right away. As a consequence, I know we lost out on a ton of business initially because we weren't dealing with the leads right. That was one big challenge that we faced because it's different. You know, someone's online, they're going to want more of an instant response. And if they're not getting a quick response, then what's to stop them from doing the same thing, doing that same search or going down the list to the next person and filling out a form there? What I'm trying to get at is that these people generally, I think, will convert a lot better the quicker you can get back to them.
Welcome to Turning Profit, a podcast for people that love real estate. Learn the business models and skills that professional real estate investors use to make money and build wealth. Visit turningprofit.com for a wealth of investor resources. And now, here are your hosts, Pete and Heather Reese.
Welcome to the Turning Profit podcast. It's so great to be here once again. And today we have a super special episode, or a super different episode, I would say, because my co-host Heather is not with us in this episode today. But I do have a special guest on the podcast, which, if you've been listening to us for a while, is a rarity. So today I have got Brandon Bateman. And Brandon is the owner of the Bateman Collective. I think that's your company name, right? Bateman Collective.
That's right.
And
yep.
Brandon, we've been working with Brandon now for about 6 months on pay-per-click ads for lead generation for our land investing business. So I thought he would be a great guest to kind of bring on so we could talk about kind of our results with pay-per-click advertising in the land investing space. And obviously, you can hopefully answer a bunch of questions for the audience about that. And then also talk about if someone was interested in potentially working on pay-per-click as well for their lead generation, how they would go about getting started and that kind of thing. So I think a great place to start would be if you could just kind of tell us about yourself and your company and what you do.
A little bit weird. And the reason I'm weird is because I'm a marketer first, real estate investor second. Feels like it's the opposite for all of my competitors. Right? So I come from this marketing world and just kind of found real estate as like our place that we had a lot of success with clients. And then, so I've technically been in the real estate investment space doing marketing for, I want to say it's about 6.5 years. It was early, like the very beginning of 2018 was sort of the beginning. That's been an awesome journey. And then for about the past 4 years of that, we've been working exclusively just with real estate investors. Bateman Collective, a little bit of information about us. We're just a bunch of data nerds that found our path in marketing. Right now we work with about 190 different investors. I've got about 30 people on my team that manage PPC campaigns, web lease channels. The thing that's a little bit new for us though, so when it comes to like the single family housing space, that's where we've been and where we thrived for a long time. The way that you and I got in touch is that we were kind of working our way into this land investing space, which is kind of really different, but also kind of really similar in a lot of ways. As I'm sure you have that conversation with people sometimes of like land versus houses and some of the benefits. So anyways, moral of the story, we still do houses, but we started to work with quite a few companies on land investing close to a year ago. And this is a direction we're going pretty heavily, and it's been pretty exciting. And you've been a part of that journey that I've been really grateful for. So that's kind of where we stand right now. Our goal has always been to be the best at pay-per-click marketing, and houses is where we started, and land is kind of where we're going. We're not getting rid of the houses, but there's a lot of searches on Google for people looking to sell their land, and not a lot of people really trying to take advantage of that in that industry. So it's sort of our like blue ocean to swim around in and try to see if we can build a business.
Well, it's been pretty exciting to me because, you know, we've historically always done direct mail. That's been our bread and butter. We send out a lot of mail. We get a lot of leads in. We get a lot of deals from that. And it's not something we want to stop anytime in the near future because it still works and it works great. But, you know, with any business, I think it's really smart to diversify your, you know, any sort of business like this where you're generating leads. I think it's really important to diversify your lead generation. And I kind of started going down that road last year, and I dedicated some budget to My thoughts were to dedicate my budget to some pay-per-click and also cold calling. Cold calling didn't turn out so well. We got a ton of leads, but what we found was the leads that we got were simply not motivated sellers. And maybe we just had a string of bad luck, but I did spend quite a bit of budget. I was spending $10,000 a month on cold calling, and we just, maybe it was our method of like converting leads or whatever, but we just didn't get any traction, and it seemed to be like a lot of like time wasted, I guess you could say. The motivation just wasn't there from the leads that we were getting and everything like that. So I kind of pulled the plug on that. I'm sure someone that's smarter than me could get it to work maybe, but we weren't getting a lot of momentum with it. But around the same time, about 6 months ago, we started pay-per-click as well with you guys. And I'd heard about you guys, and I knew you were kind of starting to dabble into the land world, but I knew your background was the single family housing space and, you know, working with investors on that. So I knew that it was going to be pretty similar. And I'm sure that I was confident that you had cracked that side of things. I was pretty confident that you could, you know, transition into this space pretty easily. So we started at $10,000 a month budget, and that's exactly where we're at right now. And it's been a really good road. We've actually been closing deals, and we've got a ton of deals under contract to buy, and a ton of leads that are going to turn into deals. So it's clear to me that it's definitely very profitable at this point. And I'll go into those numbers specifically in a little bit here. I guess what was interesting to me is it doesn't seem like a lot of land investors are like, this is on the radar. And, you know, land, direct mail has been a big thing for a while. A lot of people have done SMS or text outbound marketing. But that has lately been curtailed because of the rules with the wireless carriers and everything like that has made that a lot more difficult. And you know, I hear all kinds of things, ringless voicemails people are doing, and I know that there's regulatory challenges with that as well. But to me, it made sense that pay-per-click would be a really viable option, because I knew single-family home investors have been doing that forever, and you know, it's definitely profitable for them. And I knew it was a lot more competitive than the land space with pay-per-click for sure. So this experiment really paid off for us, and I think highlighting some of these things in this episode, maybe some other investors would want to go down that path as well. What have you determined so far has been like major differences between like the house, single family home space and the land space? Like, are they overall like pretty much the same, or there's some big things that you didn't expect maybe that have come up?
Yeah, good question. And that we didn't expect is hard, because like, I think a lot of the challenges we've run into are exactly what we expected to run into.
Yeah,
it's
yeah.
Just, can we deal with it is the real question that I think we're asking ourselves. I mean, it is a different space in some ways. It's not in other ways. I mean, one thing that's brilliant about it, like you can never get around this in pay-per-click, like this is just how it is that the people who are clicking your ads are people actively looking for a solution, which, I mean, that's like, if we're going to say like one difference between pay-per-click and direct mail or cold call or something like that, it's that like, these people are actually actively looking, right? If you're mailing somebody, you don't know that they're wanting to sell their land. If somebody types into Google, "How to sell my land," what's the likelihood that they're actually going to want to sell their land? It's pretty dang high, right? So that's where you see like the difference in lead quality. So we knew that would be true. Everything else is a little bit different, and I'd say some of the biggest like unique challenges that we run into in land, kind of controlling the type of property that you get, and that includes a lot of different things. It's like the type of location it's in. It could be acreage. It could be road access. It could be swamplands or not. There's all kinds of different criteria. And as a land investor, you know, these are all criteria that really affect the value of the land. So you kind of, as a land investor, like you have some things in your favor, some things not. Like, let's just say you want to land invest virtually. Turns out that's really easy, because you don't have to like walk a land and see, does it have a foundation issue? And did they do meth in the basement? And like none of that matters, right? It's like, right. It's a piece of land, right?
Yes.
So something really interesting about pay-per-click is as you go wider geographically, what happens to your cost per lead is it goes down, which for houses, that's always a trade-off. It's like, okay, we'll go wider, but then we're going to end up with these properties in these areas that we don't want as much, but we can have a lower cost per lead. Is it worth it? Versus in land, it's a little bit more clear of a decision. Like, yeah, I don't care what the land is. A deal's a deal, right? So that's one thing that's kind of in our favor. The thing that's kind of against our favor is like, well, can we advertise on Google to only people that own 5-acre or larger parcels? Well, no, not really. Nobody types into Google how to sell my 5 acres of land or how to sell my land if it's less than 5 acres. Then we're like, okay, that's not the right one. So you don't know all those things, right? When someone does a search. So yeah, controlling that lead quality a little bit's interesting. And there's some things that we've done for you and for our other clients that have helped with that. Like things like in your ad, kind of describing what kind of land you're looking for. We do some fancy stuff with Google too, where we will take people through a questionnaire on the website, and based on how they fill out the answers to those questions, we will either report it as a lead to Google or not report it as a lead to Google, to kind of train the algorithm to find us more and more people that match more of our criteria. So it's probably something you naturally see in the campaigns that it starts, and then it starts to dial in a little bit better on lead quality over time. But those things are not avoidable, right? So that's kind of like, if we're looking at kind of pros and cons and what has happened, basically what I've learned is if you're a land investor and you just need like a really specific type of land, it's less likely to be for you. If you're more likely to be able to look at the land and say, is this a deal or is this not? And I'm not saying not have any qualification criteria, because many of our clients have qualification criteria. But I guess what I'm saying is the looser those criteria are, the more feasible this is, because you kind of get a mixed bag. Versus if you just like, it's really got to be in this city and at least this acreage, and I'm looking for stuff that I can sell to developers and matches, like it's good for our neighborhood, that kind of thing. Like you're probably better off like prospecting like the specific pieces of land you want versus just looking for anybody searching to sell land on Google.
Yeah, those are really good points. I mean, like it's a completely different opposite way of going at things than direct mail, because with direct mail, you can screen whatever, you can build a list of the exact type of properties that you want. With pay-per-click, you can't do that. I mean, there are some ways, like you were saying, to kind of narrow some things down. But in that first scenario, when we're sending out, we can dictate the types of pieces of land that we want or whatever. But the motivation, like we can do some things to kind of hopefully increase the motivation of the sellers that we're sending to as well. But in general, it's a crapshoot. Now with pay-per-click, it's the opposite. Like the motivation's there, it's just the properties are random. So
exactly. Some people would say it's less targeted. I think you could argue it's more targeted. It's just, what are we targeting, right? Like, so with pay-per-click, yeah, we know that we have motivation. What we don't know is that the property is a particular type versus direct mail, you know?
And for the most part, you know, from what I've seen, the people that are, you know, responding to a pay-per-click ad, like sell my land for cash or, you know, whatever they type in, they know that they're not getting top dollar. I mean, I guess the brighter ones know that they're not going to be getting top dollar. So you're having less pushback about, you know, these pricing discussions. A lot of things for us have been like, do we actually want to buy this property? Is there enough profit in it for us to, like, you know, make it worth our time? So those are the types of things that come up for us a lot of times. So is it possible though, like say for instance, an investor wanted to just do Pennsylvania, only land in Pennsylvania. Is it possible to target like land only in Pennsylvania with pay-per-click?
Want to learn the secret to building a thriving land flipping business? Head on over to landconquest.com and join over 2,000 passionate land flippers leveraging the power of community to scale quickly. Sign up for free at landconquest.com. All right, let's get back to the show.
So it depends on the size of the market. So one thing that's true for people in the land space is that there's less search volume for land than there is for houses, which means that if you narrow geographically too much, then you limit your total potential scale, you limit your total number of leads. But if it's still a big market, then yeah, you can do that. If it's a small market, then we even have some clients that do houses and land, and then they just want land like in their one city, and they run a land campaign that just gets like a few leads a month. But it's still worth it overall because they also do the houses stuff with us, and they just plan on only spending $500 a month on the land campaign because that's kind of its potential. If you're looking for just land in Spokane, Washington, for example, where it's just like a smaller market. Dallas, Fort Worth, DMV area, Florida, those are, you know, those are going to be different. The other thing is you can't perfectly change the geographic targeting. You know, I guess the easiest way for me to explain this is just to explain how it works. Your like direct mail, cold call, all that is property-based targeting. PPC is people-based targeting. So what that means is there's no way to target people who own land in Pennsylvania, because that is a, like, that's a property that you're targeting. I can target people that live in Pennsylvania. Where their land is could be anywhere, as you know, because every person who owns land is generally an absentee owner because it's raw land.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Except for those crazy people, right? So the in general, there's a... So let's just say we wanted land in Texas and people from Texas are searching for a way to sell their land. Is it more likely that their land is in Texas than not? Yeah, probably. But will you also get land in Florida that the person lives in Texas, but the land they own is in Florida? Absolutely. That'll happen all the time. So that's where you can... So by targeting geographically, you can focus the leads a little bit more towards that, but then you'll also get some outside of that scope. And what people do with those is different. Like I have one client where he'll sell the leads that don't match his criteria. And what he finds is like he sells those leads that don't match his criteria. That covers all of his ad spend. And then he has all his leads that do match his criteria. And that's where he makes all his money on top of
that. See, that's smart. That's smart. It would be great. You know, I have a kind of larger community of land investors set up. It would be kind of cool to set up some sort of exchange like that for people that weren't interested in doing kind of like nationwide like we are. So yeah, like we do we don't have any criteria on the for us we don't have any criteria on location, you know, so we do get leads from everywhere really, but no Mexico. Yeah. Or no New Mexico. New Mexico. Yes, I think I did tell you that. Yeah.
Yeah, I looked at your location card before this and I was like, I don't know what it is. He's fine with all 50 states except for New Mexico. That's just
it. You know what? It's a strange thing, but I'm from Pennsylvania, and after college, I moved out to California, and a friend of mine moved out at the same time. So we took a trip across the country, a road trip across the country, and I was towing like one of those U-Haul trailers behind my car, you know, with all my stuff in it. And I went through New Mexico, and I thought it was the you know, at the time, I thought it was the creepiest place. I don't know, like it was probably... You know, we were going through there at dusk, and I don't know. I just thought it kind of weirded me out. So I've just never been a big fan of New Mexico. And I'm sorry if you're listening to this, you're from New Mexico and I insulted you. Not my intent. Just personally, it's not my place. So
it's just funny.
I don't even remember telling you that.
I don't know that I've ever heard that was like the reason for not targeting an area.
It's just that like. But maybe, like, what if I wanted to buy an island in the Bahamas? Like, are there people that, is it only targeting people that live in the United States or U.S. citizens or I guess Google thinks is from the U.S. or?
I mean, you can target anywhere in Google in theory. Yeah. An island, if you want to buy islands in the Bahamas, I mean, targeting criteria, islands only would be really hard. Would you target geographically
buy islands?
Yeah. Yes, heck, we buy islands. If you listen to this and Pete hasn't bought it yet, now's your time to snatch the domain. But yeah, so you can. I mean, there obviously you run into some challenges if you're targeting like different languages, things like that. But I mean, you could run campaigns anywhere. You want land in India, you could run PPC to get land in India. Might not want it. Yeah, technically that potential is unlimited. But outside of the United States and Canada and Australia, we have not had any interest.
Yeah, sure. You know, the big problem in some of those areas is that when you get a lead, they're like researching it. You know, we've got some great apps and everything where we can tell pretty much everything about a property because all of our stuff is public record. So we can look up, and that's why it works remotely from anywhere in the country, because we can look up all this information about these properties no matter where they're at. But Canada is not the same, you know, and pretty much every other country is not the same, not that I know of. So they're going to have to make some changes before that's a really viable thing. I mean, you could always do it kind of the old fashioned way and like reach out to local brokers and, you know, that kind of stuff to get their opinion on the property, but it would be a really cumbersome process, sure.
But that does actually, I can tell you in my experience from the house flipping side, it does make pay-per-click a really attractive channel in Canada. The reason being, can't direct mail there the same way you do in the United States with like looking up all the property information. So let's just say you get a lead in Canada. Is it harder to figure out? Is it a deal? Yes. But if you're looking at like different marketing channels, people do in Canada do a lot of online marketing because direct mail is not very effective when your only option is to do it to every door.
Yeah. Like I could see it working too. Like, if you were the type that is good at, you know, building contacts in different areas, different brokers, or getting, you know, building a great network, you could probably easily cobble that together. So you've got the people on the ground that could, you know, with the data that you need. So to determine what these properties were. Yeah, interesting. Before I go into the stats that we've got, I'll briefly touch on some of the challenges that we have faced, you know, with pay-per-click and trying to figure it all out, because it was so different, honestly. And I didn't realize how different it would be, like even dealing with the leads and everything like that. One of the things that is so different is that when a lead comes in, they're filling out a form online. And initially, we didn't have it set up so we would respond right away. Like, I told my team, I've got two acquisition managers. You know, I stressed to them, you know, how it's important to respond quickly and all that kind of stuff. But the reality is they're on the phone all day. They're making calls, they're doing everything. And the leads may come in after they are working or before they're working and everything like that. So I didn't really have any good system in place to kind of deal with the leads when they came in. So as a consequence, we lost out on a ton of business initially because we weren't dealing with the leads right. So, and I'll go into a little bit how I got around that as we went forward here. But that was one big challenge that we faced, because it's different. You know, someone's online, they're going to want more of an instant response. Quicker response. And if they're not getting a quick response, then what's to stop them from doing the same thing, doing that same search or going down the list to the next person and filling out a form there, and then so on and so on. So what I'm trying to get at is that these people generally, I think, will convert a lot better the quicker you can get back to them. So that's one thing we had to face. The other thing that isn't really a thing with direct mail that we've run into a number of times is fraud. So fraud meaning that someone posing as the property owner, filling out the form, working out a deal with my team, signing a contract, and then, you know, come to find out, you know, we started some of our due diligence and everything like that. And then the title company says, we can't verify this person's identity and we don't think this is who they say they are. And then they have a verification process. All of these title companies do now. So it's not like it hurt us in any way because we always close through a title company and they you know, weed that stuff out. But like if I was closing direct with people, I'd be real cautious about like, you know, verifying their identity and everything like that. It's not a thing with direct mail because obviously we're mailing to the address that is on file with the county with the tax records and all that stuff. So I think it's a scam that some people have started, you know, started realizing is a potential scam. So they'll pose as being the property owner, try to get money out of a company like us, and it doesn't matter what they sell it for. So if they get any, you know, if they get any sort of income their way, then that's fine. And then that, you know, who knows, they might have a fake notary or something in their pocket. I don't know. Or maybe they're just trying to get someone gullible that's just going to do it without a title company or something like that. I don't know. But we've run into that a few times. Now we're more aware of it. If something doesn't seem right, you know, the team knows that we're going to take a couple extra verification steps before we start sending out a photographer to the property and start spending money on our due diligence. So, and the other thing for us, and everyone's got their own criteria, but the other thing for us is there are leads that come in that are kind of below what our minimum standards are. Like we look for a certain amount of like potential profit in a deal for it to make sense for us to move forward. I know everyone, all investors are kind of different what that criteria is, but I've got kind of a larger team and overhead and everything. So it's got to make sense for us to like, there's got to be enough potential profit in the deal in order to make sense for us. So like we'll get leads all the time where it's like, okay, this property is worth $10,000 retail, you know, and, you know, we might be able to buy it for $1,000. And while on the surface, that sounds great, you know, like who wouldn't want to buy something for $1,000 and sell it for $10,000? It's just by the time that I put it into all of our processes and go through closing on the purchase and resale and paying commissions to someone, that there just really isn't much left. So there are a lot of those that come in as well that we just simply don't do anything with. But maybe another investor that maybe they're selling without a real estate agent on the resale side, and maybe they don't have all the overhead that I have, and they're able to work through this, that they would be able to make money off of a deal like that, that for me, it doesn't really make sense. So I guess those are the big challenges I've faced. Any insight on that stuff before I go into the numbers?
It's very fascinating what you said. Obviously, like we preach speed to lead for sure, all of our clients. And it's, it matters a ton. The fraud we've seen on the house selling side.
Yeah.
Too. If you're going to fraud someone, like what's the easiest way to find somebody who, like just yeah. search on Google for people that buy the land and yeah. there you go. That makes sense. Although it's unfortunate that that's the world we live in. Yeah. That totally makes sense. And then like the leads that are just too small, totally makes sense too. And that's what a lot of our clients in the land space have found, is like, they sort of need to just kind of build out their qualification criteria. And what you end up doing is you just end up throwing away some of your leads. But the financials have generally worked out that as long as like your criteria aren't incredibly strict, then, you know, you throw out a third of the leads or half of the leads or whatever it is, and you can still end up making enough from the remainder that, you know, the numbers work out. So I'm actually really curious. I haven't heard all of your numbers from your side yet. So I'm really curious to get into that part and see what things look like in your CRM beyond just what I see on my side.
Well, and to be honest, I didn't really know my numbers too well until we started talking about like, hey, let's do a podcast episode together. And I've just been, I should have known my numbers, but I didn't. So this kind of lit a fire under me to kind of put all this stuff together. So I'll go into them now. Like, so we've been working together for 6 months. We have spent $10,000 a month, so approximately $60,000 in ad spend into this. So far, we've had two deals that have made the round trip, meaning we have resold them. And on those two deals, we've made a total gross profit of $27,037.16. And on the surface, you might say, oh, well, that's terrible. You spent $60,000, you only got $27,000 back. There's more to the story, which is coming. So we purchased a total of four deals so far. Two of those are resold. One is in escrow, estimated gross profit of $10,000. One is for sale, and we estimate the gross profit is going to be about $12,000 on that. So that's a total of $49,000 gross profit. But like I said, that's not the full story. We've got 10 deals that are under contract to purchase. Estimated gross profit on those, I think probably about $250,000, somewhere in that range. So those are 10 other deals that were actually under contract to purchase. They're with the closing companies, and they're various stages of being close or just started or whatever. We've also got 16 current offers, contracts that we are negotiating. The team is negotiating with that right now. So I don't know how many of those are actually going to turn into deals. I'd say probably at least 25 to 50% of those, I am thinking. We're close on those. We're just trying to come together in a deal. We've got 146 current pay-per-click leads that are working on. These are not ones that are in a long-term drip either. These are actually active leads that we're working on and trying to come together on a potential deal on. And then we have countless deals that we have passed on that were below our minimums, where there was profit to be made, but we just decided not to. So with all this being said, I think we're looking at least a 5-to-1, at least 5-to-1, like what our costs were on the leads to what I think we're going to get back on them. And there's a couple of things that, you know, I mentioned that took us a little while to figure out some stuff. And I know probably like the first 3 to 4 months, we probably burned through the great majority of our leads because we weren't responding in a timely manner. And then a couple months ago, we started making a couple big improvements. So the big improvement that we started working on was integrating an AI bot into our Land Conquest business system, which is our, it's our platform. It's a CRM, but it also manages all of our processes for our land investing business. So this AI bot, basically, it's plugged into the pipeline. So when a lead comes in, so someone types in on Google, sell my land for cash or whatever they type in, brings up a form, which you guys create all that stuff. You've got that all that stuff optimized. So what happens is when they fill out that form, then it drops immediately into our system. And then what happens there is, you know, previously they were just there and if my acquisition managers would see them, they'd try to give them a call or text them right away or something like that. But in reality, they weren't responding very quickly just because they've got a lot of stuff going on. But what happens now is we've got an AI bot that basically drums up an immediate conversation with them within a minute. And not just, it's not just like dumb questions either. It's actually like real conversations. It's almost creepy in a way, like what it can do. Like it has full conversations with these people and smart responses and everything. So it's very interesting. But the goal of that is really to obviously start building rapport with this lead, showing them that we're interested and coming together on a potential deal, but then also asking them a set of qualifying questions that we ask. You know, stuff like, you know, are you the only owner of the property? Anyone else, you know, on the title of the property? How long have you owned it for? Just kind of like basic qualifying questions to get some more answers about the property. And a lot of the people go down this whole road, this whole conversation by text message with our AI bot. But the goal of the AI bot then is to actually book an appointment on the calendar on the acquisition managers. So it automatically then books an appointment with my acquisition managers who then have a full conversation and try to put together the deal with them. So putting that into place has drastically increased our ability to connect with these people. Because if you don't respond to a lead right away, the chances that they're even going to respond are actually somewhat low. So I've put together some statistics on this. It's called speed to lead. And, you know, you had mentioned that it's a big thing, you know, when you're talking to all your clients and everything like that. So speed to lead, just I copied some definitions and some statistics to share. Speed to lead is the time it takes your organization on average to respond to a qualified prospect from the moment they become an inbound lead. So this is the time it takes, like when someone fills that form out, like how long does it take to respond? So in some statistics, which I thought were interesting, your speed to lead or response time is often the single most important factor in winning or losing because the speed wins. So 78% of customers buy from the company that responds to their inquiry first. So that's pretty useful information, I think. Businesses are 7 times more likely to qualify leads when reaching out within an hour as opposed to 1 hour later. Sales reps are 21 times more effective when calling within 5 minutes of prospect first contact as opposed to calling after 30 minutes. Now that's fascinating to me. Like there's a huge difference between even 5 minutes and 30 minutes. And your odds of qualifying a lead decrease 80% after 5 minutes has elapsed. You are 10 times less likely to have leads respond if your outreach takes more than 5 minutes. I mean, that's crazy to me. And then companies experience a 391% increase in lead conversions when responding within 1 minute, which is what our AI bot does. And I've noticed like a huge difference. And I'm just kind of excited. I wish we wouldn't have been doing it from the beginning. We weren't. But I know that that it's going to be kind of a drastic change in these numbers. And I can't wait to see what the numbers look like 6 months from now. So it's pretty exciting for me. So, and then obviously we're going to work on scaling things up with you guys as well, because I talked to Shannon, who is our rep with your company, and she gave us some statistics and everything. And it seems that there's just like an immense amount of area to like scale up if we wanted to.
and there were nowhere near any sort of like saturation point. Like, is that what you're seeing from your side of things?
Yeah, for sure. And like I said, land smaller than houses, but land on a national scale is still huge.
You know? Yeah. Like, there's a lot of land around.
Yeah. There's a lot of land. There's a lot of search volume. So yeah, your scale, the number one thing that impacts it is obviously how many areas you target. And in your case, you're pretty broad. You'll find that ceiling's not very close. So you've got a little while.
Boost your land flipping earnings with our new Land Conquest business system. It's designed for efficiency and effectiveness. This cutting edge software tool is your key to success in the land flipping industry. Streamline and automate your operations to scale your business to new heights. With our system, you get a customizable website with 6 professional templates to choose from, up to 5 dedicated phone numbers, each with their own chosen area codes for creating a trustworthy local presence. And as a bonus, you'll get a $25 credit for SMS and email sends. You'll also get access to our tech team to build any automations or customizations that you want. And not to mention, we've got a great dedicated community to the Land Conquest business system to help us all thrive together. And with every step of the way, you get our 24/7 live chat support. But that's not all. You'll also gain access to our exclusive community to connect and grow with fellow land flippers. Seize the opportunity to transform your business. Visit software.landconquest.com to check out the Land Conquest business system and unlock the next stage of your land flipping success.
I mean, I guess the big thing is, what do you think is possible? Like, what do you think someone could potentially, like how much volume is possible for someone?
It's a pretty big market. I'd almost lean towards pulling up whatever Shannon said. I think I had seen it recently. And that had suggested that, you know, profit maximizing point might be somewhere north of $100,000 a month in ad spend. It's worth saying, like, there's different kinds of models that you can run. On one type of model, you're basically going after volume and you're looking for profit maximization. Profit maximization, though, the tricky thing about it is it usually happens at a thinner margin. That's why you'll find like a lot of the biggest volume players in any industry run at thin margins, because the unit economics of business are kind of against you, right? So the way that you get more leads is you increase your cost per lead, and you can keep on pushing that and pushing that and pushing that. Oftentimes, like, by the math, a business is most profitable when you can get your marketing down to about a 2.5x return on ad spend, which for a lot of people, when they hear that, they're like, that doesn't make any sense. Why would a lower return on ad spend equal more profit? And the answer is volume. Massive amounts of volume at a lower return on ad spend could be the most profitable. But a lot of people that get into business, they're not looking for that. So you kind of have to, this is where you have to know, like, there's, when it comes to making decisions around scale, there's not a right answer and a wrong answer. Like, we have some clients where what they choose to do is they choose to scale as much as you can scale to peak out profitability. We have other clients that look at that and they're like, okay, maybe I'm peak out my profitability at $200,000 a month, but at $100,000 a month, I'm pretty profitable and I have a better return on ad spend and I'm running a higher margin, feels a little bit safer. Do I want to double everything to squeeze out a little bit more? They don't love that diminishing return. So maybe that's more of like a lifestyle business orientation, or maybe a little bit more risk averse, where I'm looking for, I'm looking to find that sweet spot where I can still hit my 4x return. And I just want to push the volume as far as I can there. So it totally depends on like what you're looking to do. But the answer is people can take it pretty far. I mean, that's true both for this and for houses. Like, the total potential of money to spend on these channels is theoretically massive. It's just, the thing that I hear from a lot of people at the beginning is like, I'll spend as much money as I possibly can. I just need to like see that it works first. Put a dollar in, get 5 out, for example, and then I'll put $1 million in. But then by the time we get to $1 million, they run into a lot of other problems in their business that make it hard to scale it that much.
Yeah.
Because that's like, it all, when marketing's your problem, it feels like marketing is the solution that's going to take you to the moon. When you fix that problem and now you have an abundance of leads, but you're figuring out how to operationally manage a business that has an abundance of leads, that's where a lot of people realize that it's a slower path to getting where you want to go than you might think it is. That's a hard thing. And the problem that feels like insurmountable is always just whichever one you're dealing with at that time.
There's always a bottleneck. It's just always fixing that bottleneck. And the funny thing is, well, not funny, but I know for a fact, I mean, just by the
the small scale, what I consider smaller scale that we're doing right now. I know that if we had a lot less leads coming in, we would make more of everything that comes in. It's just that we have a great abundance of leads that are coming in. So we're very, very picky. You know, if we didn't have as many leads coming in, I'm sure we'd work each lead probably a little bit more. And, you know, like we've got all kinds of stuff coming in. It's interesting. Like sometimes, like we've gotten leads on houses that probably are good, viable deals that we just didn't do anything with because that's not our thing. We've gotten leads on commercial properties, like big commercial buildings, distressed commercial buildings. And I look at them and I'm like, that's probably a deal, but I just don't have the bandwidth to like really, you know, dive into this and make something of this property just because we're so focused on our main business. So it's interesting, all the stuff that comes in. And I know that we could be more, quite a bit more efficient with the leads that we've got coming in. So it's one of those things where we turn up ad spend or whatever. I know that our efficiency is probably going to go down, but you know, and we cherry pick too. Like we're very picky on the stuff that we move forward with as well. And some other investors are, they have a different philosophy. Like we're only trying to buy what we consider to be good properties that we're able to resell at a good price. But some investors are of the mindset like, hey, they'll buy anything as long as it's the right price and they can make money on. So for us, like we don't, you know, like we don't buy landlocked properties. We don't buy properties if they're too slow. We don't buy them if they have too much wetlands. But there's money to be made in all of those properties if you get it for the right price. And with this channel, the motivation's there. You can get it for the right price. So I don't know. Maybe we're throwing away some deals that there's good profit to be made there. But it's just kind of our investment philosophy, I guess you could say. So I'd rather spend more money on leads and then just kind of work with the properties we like. So
it totally makes sense. And that actually explains, like, to your point, I've talked to you know, lots of different investors about their metrics on like direct mail and their metrics on PPC and stuff. Your metrics on both channels are higher cost per contract than I hear from a lot of people. Like there's probably somebody listening to this. It's like, well, this cost per contract's way higher than mine. But you probably run a different business too.
Yes.
Right.
Yeah.
Your focus is like, right now we're just kind of cherry picking deals and that's what works for us.
Yeah.
And you know what? Land is at a place where you can do that. In houses, you can't cherry pick.
Yeah.
It's like you gotta,
yeah.
The only way you're ever gonna make your marketing dollars back is you gotta maximize everything. But if that's how you can run a business and that works for you, then it totally works. But there's it's definitely worth thinking about. You should throw some network together. You know, you gotta have some like system in your CRM where like, I don't want this lead and just goes into a Facebook group of all your students and
yeah,
anybody can attack them like that.
Yeah,
that'd be interesting.
I've been actually thinking about that, like, because we've got a kind of a dance community or whatever, and I've actually created a column in our CRM and we've started putting those leads over there. But yeah, I want to put up some sort of system where, you know, these deals that we're not going to do anything with, it's better to give them to someone else or some put some sort of system together where other people can take advantage of, because there's, like I said, there's money to be made in almost all properties that come through our leads that come through. It's just a matter of, is it something we're going to deal with or not? So if someone wanted to get started, like what would you recommend is kind of like a budget? Like what would you say is like a budget that would be kind of like the floor or kind of minimum that would viable budget that would make sense?
So our minimum typically is about $2,000 per month for ad spend. And then including management costs, it brings you up to about $3,250 per month. So usually below that point, it's like, it's kind of hard. Here's the tricky thing that you run into. Like a lot of people think PPC is simple. The reason they think it's simple is because you just hire agencies to do it. The reason you hire agencies to do it is because it's so complicated. So it's like
complicated
enough that it makes sense to hire another company. But let's just say you want to spend $500 a month on ads. Well, now you're going to have to pay like thousands of dollars to an agency to manage your $500. And it just doesn't make sense. Like this isn't worth the squeeze. They'd have to make miracles happen with your $500 to cover their fees. But so that's the one thing about PPC is like, if you want, like, and don't get me wrong, you go on Fiverr, you find someone to manage your PPC for $100 a month.
Yeah. Yeah.
I can sell you $100.
I know.
When your ad spend doesn't work, is a lot more expensive than your ad spend producer return and paying, you know, what it takes for a good company to manage things. So that's why we put the floor at about $2,000, because then you can, you know, cover management fees reasonably. And I think the juice is worth the squeeze for everybody. And we have clients spending even into the six figures monthly on PPC. So it's like there's quite a range that you can work with for sure. Some of the things that we think about, like it really depends on, I think the best thing to do if you're a little bit on the fence or just considering it is to have a consult with my team, because we can talk you through the different options and what those include and like why you, because for some people, we wouldn't recommend that budget. For some people would say like for you and what you want to do, you probably want to spend at least $5,000 a month or at least $8,000 a month. And for some people, the minimum budget's fine. So I'm not saying it's like available to everyone. We're kind of the mindset of kind of like you with your land deals. Like we only want to work on what we want to work on. And some of that periphery stuff just doesn't serve anybody well.
For me, it makes sense to work with your ideal customers or your ideal leads or whatever, and kind of set that criteria and kind of don't budge from it. Anyhow, that's just kind of my thought process of business, but. Do you remember, I don't know if you've got that information. I had a meeting with Shannon, who is our rep, and I mentioned with you guys, and she gave us our cost per lead, and I didn't write it down. I remember it was really low, and she said it's probably like way, way, way lower than the house leads. Do you know what that figure is?
$30 was the last time.
Okay, $30 lead. That's pretty neat.
Yeah.
So if you're doing the math, a lot of leads coming in.
That's cool. You got a bot to help qualify them and stuff. I'm really fascinated with what you're doing there. And just like you, I'm curious to see what this turns into over the next 6 months or 12 months. Because even when you share, there's just kind of two factors that work against you in the beginning. There's cash conversion cycle, obviously, which I'm sure you deal with. Any channel is kind of, that's a difficulty of land investing, this cash conversion cycle. And then you've got the fact that we're all getting better. Like we got better during that time period. You got better on your side during that time period, you know, so a lot of stuff is changing. Although one thing I am curious to hear from you is your cash conversion cycle different in a way that you've noticed for PPC versus direct mail?
Not too different, pretty much the same. You know, sometimes some of these properties take longer than we'd like them to be to close. The resale side really doesn't take us too long. Like on average, we're holding these properties for about 90 days. So like that's kind of our average, 90 to 100 days probably. So the purchase time frame sometimes can get dragged out because most of the time it's because of title, you know, because title searches and things, you know, in some states it's very quick and it's a very easy situation. But sometimes there's complicated issues that they got to worked out, or maybe multiple heirs or something like that. So some of these properties just take way longer to close on the buy side than I'd like them to. But you know, there's always exceptions. There's always ones that close really fast. And then there's ones that, you know, taking us a year to close, you know, just because there's a complicated situation going on and sellers slow with their paperwork and all that kind of stuff. So it just kind of depends. So I'd wish it, you know, when I started this business, I thought it was going to be much faster to close these deals on the buy side and everything, but it takes longer than what I assumed it would. So.
And one thing that's interesting about PPC, I'm curious when we get more data if we see this correlation, because in my other experience on the house side, usually it's the quicker cash conversion cycle, but the part that's quicker is the time between when a lead comes in and when the seller decides to sign your contract. How long it takes to close a contract to a deal because of whatever issues you deal with, and how long it takes for you to resell the property, like, you know, all that's going to be the same, but theoretically. With direct mail, like when you're reaching out to people, you don't know if the timing's right now. But with PPC, it will. So I'm actually curious, but it sounds like the biggest part of your cash conversion cycle, though, is like in between contract and closing the deal, and then in between closing and reselling. That's not going to be marketing channel dependent as much as it just kind of is what it is.
Yeah, I think so. And then another thing, you know, like you were saying, like. Sometimes, we try to get a deal locked up as quickly as we can. Sometimes, you know, we get a lot of deals that come together over time a little bit. So we might give them an offer and they might dismiss it and say, no, we're not interested, you know, like too low of a price or whatever. And then
you know, we have a drip system where, you know, the system's automatically reaching out to them at specified intervals and, you know, just trying to stay in touch. And we'll get people from a year later that'll be like, all right, I thought about it, I'll do it. You know, so there's a lot of deals that may not happen right away, and we try to, but like sometimes they just need time to develop. So there's a lot of leads like that that I guarantee that there's a lot of leads in our CRM right now that will turn into a deal at some point. It's just they'll take time to develop.
I know the game. My CRM is the same way. That's in most businesses. That's where the gold is.
It's in the CRM already. Fortune is in the follow up, as they say, right? Yeah.
Yeah. If you're good at it.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. Well, and I think that's the other thing, like having automation with that stuff, because people are people and everyone has a good intent to follow up at certain intervals, but everyone's busy. They've got leads coming in and everything like that. So, you know, we've set up our system in a way that much of that stuff is automated. So we're just looking for a response. And then when someone responds, say a year later, someone responds to one of our messages or one of our outreach things that we're doing, that's when it starts up again. That's when the conversation gets real again. But if they don't respond, then they'll just kind of remain in our system indefinitely, and we'll keep touching base with them until they tell us to go away or they're interested again.
Are you looking for funding for your land flipping deal? Then head on over to partnerwithpete.com. It's an innovative new funding program where we split the profits with you 50-50, but we take it one step further and we handle every other step of the process in the land flipping business. Yes, that means we handle all the due diligence. If the property needs any value add, like clearing brush, perk test, survey, we'll get that paid for up front. Then when the property resells, we split the profits 50-50. There is absolutely no downside for you as an investor. If we lose money, we don't pass that on to you. But when we make money, when we make profit, we split the proceeds 50-50. So as a recap, we handle every part of the process. We split the profits with you 50-50. There's no downside for you as the investor, only upside. So go to partnerwithpete.com, submit your deal there, and we'll get it checked out within 24 hours.
And I should say about the budget thing, we've been spending $10,000 a month, and that's inclusive of the management fee and everything like that. So our cost per lead of $30 per lead, I should do some quick math, but that's a lot of leads. So just on the surface, I can tell that we probably need to be a little bit more efficient with some of the things that we're doing, but. Now, one thing I wanted to mention to you, and I know we had a little discussion about this before, is it possible to get leads from other online sources like Facebook or something like that instead of just pay-per-click?
So we kind of, our first jump into the land investing space was with pay-per-click, shortly followed by Facebook. We've had more success so far from pay-per-click than we have from Facebook. There's also an element of like Facebook usually is a little bit of a slower cash conversion cycle. And there's all kinds of different strategies we're testing, all kinds of stuff like that. So I'm not at a point where I'm like, oh, Facebook doesn't work for this.
Right.
But it is not going as well as pay-per-click does. There are also other pay-per-click channels too. Google's the main one, but like Microsoft also has a collection of search engines. They have DuckDuckGo and Yahoo and Bing. Those kind of make up the Microsoft search advertising network. So that's another place we can go, where I'm confident it'll work similarly to Google, because that's how it always is. Basically, the name of the game with Microsoft is usually it's a little cheaper than Google, but it's much lower volume, because naturally Google's the dominant market player in the search engine space. But Microsoft has something for sure. They've got a decent number. I think it's somewhere between 10 and 20% market share in the search engine space as a whole. And it depends on the market too.
Yeah, it makes sense to me that, you know, the pay-per-click type stuff, whether it be Google or the Microsoft suite of stuff, would be more effective than, you know, the Facebook, because obviously on Facebook, you don't have the motivation side of things there generally. They're just getting hit kind of cold with a potential thing. So you can't really target the property itself, and you can't really target the motivation there.
You probably have to have some pretty robust systems in
place. But I know real estate agents use that all the time, you know, and it works for them. It's just, you know,
And it works for us for single family home investors. It does work because we found some ways to dial in the lead quality. Granted, we didn't figure those out really quick. It took some time and some testing. So maybe there's a future there. But I guess my main hope for Facebook was, yes, Google's going to have the motivated seller, but on Facebook, can I find the I don't care anymore seller, which is a special kind of seller that's only exists in land investing that doesn't exist as much in the home buying space. And maybe that's an even better seller than the motivated seller.
I wonder if it's possible. I don't know. You'd hopefully know this. Is it possible to, you know, maybe get someone that comes to lead form that you guys have? By the way, you guys set up all the lead forms. You do all of that. You do the ads and everything. So I don't have to do any of that stuff, which is, you've got all that figured out, you know, like what ads actually work to get people to click, what forms are optimized that people will actually fill out. And you've done all that work on that, which is very appealing to me because I didn't want to try to recreate that and spend tens of thousands of dollars trying to figure out all that stuff. But is it possible to take people that maybe go to that landing page, they don't convert, or they convert there, but they don't respond to us or something, and then maybe retarget them somewhere else on the internet, like Facebook or Google or something like that? Have you played around with that a lot?
Yeah, 100%. And it does work. Facebook's, in my opinion, the most robust retargeting platform. So most of what I've commented on so far has been the top of funnel stuff, like can we target new people? But if we're talking just from the standpoint of can we retarget, the moral of the story is it's very effective dollar for dollar. The number of dollars that you can invest into it is always less than a lot of people want. They're like, I have a 20x return on my Facebook retargeting. Let's spend $10,000 a month. No, like we're going to spend like $3 a day. Like that's kind of as much as we can spend. So it's really nice to turn your $3 per day into $30 per day of revenue. And it's also only $30 per day of revenue. You know? So that's been my experience with retargeting. It's very efficient, but you don't scale retargeting without also scaling the top of funnel because it has a fixed size audience. So that's where it's like, it's a brilliant strategy. It works really well, but volume's not its strength.
So like if someone contacted you and said, hey, this sounds really cool. I want to do this too. How quickly could they be up to speed, you know, like getting leads coming in the doors?
So obviously if they contact us, we can give them specific dates because it does depend at any given time. Like let's just say 100 people contact us and want to get started right after this. Like we're not going to be able to do all that at once and we're going to pace ourselves. But generally the way it works is it's going to be somewhere between 2 and 3 weeks to get a campaign live from the moment that you say, yes, I want to do this. And we will give you the date. And as long as you give us the stuff by the date that we give you as a deadline, then we can usually get that. In the past 8 weeks, 100% of the time, we've been able to get it live on time. So it's as simple as that. So just think 2 or 3 weeks plus, I mean, if you're going to schedule a call with my team today, maybe it would be for in a few days. And then maybe, you know, you want to think about it for a few days, whatever that time is. And then from when you pull the trigger, 2 to 3 weeks.
Yeah. And that was our experience too. I think it was probably right in that 2 to 3 week range from the time I said, hey, let's go for this to the time that we were actually up and going. Is it possible that someone could kind of figure this all out themselves and do it themselves, especially if they had like a really low budget?
For sure. Yeah. And people have before, certainly. It's pretty likely that they would try and then get frustrated and give up or end up spending a lot of money and wasting it. Or like Google PPC is like just not the most beginner friendly thing. It's like saying, is it possible that somebody could start like day trading today and do really well in the stock market? Like, yeah, anybody could do it. In theory, but like many will try and few will like make it through that process and actually come out the other side with more money than they started with. So yes, it's possible. I'm in the mindset of hire the experts, but if anybody wants to go down that route, we do have good resources for them. I have a podcast. It's called the Collective Clicks Podcast. You want to link directly to it. It's just podcast.batemancollective.com. And we have some things in there, like one series in specific is really useful. We have an 8-part series called PPC Essentials. So you can just kind of scroll back in the podcast and you can find there's 8 separate episodes where it's like, it's a series of podcast episodes, but it might as well just be a course on like what's important when you're running PPC. It's not like press this button, then press that button, but it's like, here's the things that you need to nail and do strategy around. And I'm also kind of the opinion that as a business owner, if you can understand the details a little bit. It helps you hold people accountable. It helps you better understand strategy, the levers in your business. Like, it's good to be aware of those things. So a lot of our clients have appreciated that, even if they don't actually run it themselves. But if you want to go down that path, that's the direction I recommend you going. I do have a hard time justifying self-managed BC in my mind. Like, it's hard to justify getting worse results and spending way more time doing it to save a couple grand a month than when the real opportunity in your business is much more than that.
For me, like, I know that if I would try to do it myself, I wouldn't be able to get it down to that $30 per lead. I would probably, the conversion rate of my forms would be, you know, wildly different than you guys have optimized it for. And it would just be a constant stress on my, am I doing this right? Like, so I don't have to worry about any of that stuff, which is kind of cool. One side advantage that I didn't even mention is that with anytime you've got online advertising, if you like to go on vacations and everything like that, we use credit cards, you know, in our Google Ads account or whatever. So we've got our credit card in there that pays for all of our ad spend and then generates points, which we then use to actually travel with and stay in nice hotel rooms and flight and all that kind of stuff. So kind of a cool side benefit. I'm sure some of your clients a lot of your clients probably do that as well, I'd imagine.
Oh, I do too. Yeah. I've got so many credit card points. They're coming out of my ears. I don't even know what to do with them. Because we're going to hurt.
Yeah, I know. We've got a big bank of them too. Yes. And we're kind of like, we got to go somewhere. Just sitting there. Do you find yourself seeing these leads and these deals that your clients are doing and everything like that and like feel like you need to be doing more investing yourself? I don't know. You might be doing a ton of investing yourself. I don't know.
So I can tell you my personal investment strategy. And I'm a firm believer, just like how I believe that investors shouldn't like run their own PPC. I also don't think I should run my own real estate. So I do invest in real estate because I believe in it, but I do it all passively through like limited partner investment. I continue to make those on a like quarterly basis. So that's my strategy. Although to your point, if you talk to my sales team, it's funny. I've got like my guy that like directs our sales team got into land investing, and now like every salesperson I have is like doing land deals. So if you want a team that believes in what they're selling, like they're all doing it. They all run their own PPC to generate land deals.
Yes.
And it's funny.
I thought this was a great conversation, and hopefully it opens up investors their eyes to this type of investing and how it can be lucrative and what some of the potential is there. I just don't think it's on the radar of a lot of investors. And maybe if it is, they're keeping it quiet or something. I don't know. But no reason to keep it quiet any longer. I'm going to put a link below this video here. Like if anyone is interested in working with you guys, so they can easily get over there and even if you don't go through the link or whatever and you contact them directly, if you just mention, hey, Pete sent you, that would be awesome. And the other thing is that we are, we're going to be offering this, our AI bot that we've developed for within our Land Conquest business system. We'll be offering it to anyone that signs up through us and uses our Land Conquest business system. So if you wanted to go down this path of pay-per-click, we'll set it up in there for you. So you don't have to worry about all that time where I wasted not having the speed to lead in place. So it's automatically going to be there for you, and it's going to respond right away. And if you wanted to, it'll book an appointment with that lead into your calendar, so you can take the call and do it that way. So the goal is to kind of make it as turnkey as possible. So I know you guys make it as turnkey as possible, but we'll also do that from our side, so you can just worry about putting deals together and making money. So is there anything you wanted to add? Anything I didn't ask you that you feel is important to bring up?
No, this was super thorough, and I'm appreciative of the opportunity to come chat with you, Pete. I've learned a lot through the conversation, and I hope anybody listening has gotten value too.
Yeah. Well, great. Well, we're looking to do a lot more with you guys and on the pay-per-click side of things going forward here. So I'm just excited about where it can lead and all the deals that we're going to do and all that kind of stuff. So it's been a great partnership, and just look forward to keep working with you.
Yeah, thank you, Pete.
Thanks for coming on, Brandon. Really appreciate everything. And again,
I'll put a link below this video, or if you're listening to it, what website should they go to if they're listening to it on the audio version in order to contact you? What's your guys' website?
Yeah, it's just batemancollective.com. You can Google us, find Bateman Collective, however you want to do it. And you'll find on the page a way to directly book with my strategy team. To have a discovery call and see if it's a fit for you. Just mention that Pete sent you and give him some credit, and we'll be good.
That all sounds great. Well, thanks so much for everything, Brandon. This is a great conversation, and maybe let's do a follow up in 6 months from now and see how my stats have changed. Hopefully for a lot better. All right. All right. Thanks a lot, Brandon.
Ready to start turning profit yourself? Head to turningprofit.com to step up your real estate investing game. See you on the next episode.